Several years ago, a professor in a university back east, his name's not important, and neither is the university, but what he said, is a threat to all of what we believe in. Here's what a statement that he made. He said, "Why make such a fuss over the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, or his miracles, or his resurrection? I have more important things to consider than whether or not some grave is empty almost 2,000 years ago. We can all agree that Jesus left marvelous teachings, and we should unite on that and forget those controversial things that divide the religious world. What difference does it make whether or not Jesus was born of a virgin, turned water to wine, or rose from the grave? We should look at the practical things." Well, of course, that bespeaks of one who doesn't have much respect for God's word, obviously. But when you get to thinking about this, this is the way that modernists think today. Jesus was a prophet. He had some good things to say about morals, and they even discredit those. Several years ago, a professor in a university back east, his name's not important, and neither is the university, but what he said, is a threat to all of what we believe in. Here's what a statement that he made. He said, "Why make such a fuss over the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, or his miracles, or his resurrection? I have more important things to consider than whether or not some grave is empty almost 2,000 years ago. We can all agree that Jesus left marvelous teachings, and we should unite on that and forget those controversial things that divide the religious world. What difference does it make whether or not Jesus was born of a virgin, turned water to wine, or rose from the grave? We should look at the practical things." Well, of course, that bespeaks of one who doesn't have much respect for God's word, obviously. But when you get to thinking about this, this is the way that modernists think today. Jesus was a prophet. He had some good things to say about morals, and they were even trying to discredit those now. But the modernist thinking is the Bible is not true. And what difference does it make anyway? Well, I suggest to you that it makes a great deal of difference, and you believe that too. I know you believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I know you believe in the temptation and the miracles and certainly the resurrection. But I want us to answer those questions tonight. Not that it would help the one who published this particular statement, because he doesn't believe in the Bible anyway. But I want us to know why we believe those things, that those are truths that are found in God's word. So he said, "Why make a fuss over the virgin birth?" Well, because the virgin birth is a foundation of our faith in him. If he wasn't born of a virgin, and then God is not his father, and he's just another man that was born of an earthly father, then how can we believe in anything that God says to tell us? When we look at God's word, it goes all the way back to 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born. The prophecies of prophets like Isaiah 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, reiterated this and referred back to this very prophecy when he said, "Now this is done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." So inspired writers thought it was worth making a fuss over for us to know and to understand and to accept this great truth, that Jesus indeed was born, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased," and added, "Hear him." Several years ago, a professor in a university back east, his name's not important, and neither is the university, but what he said, is a threat to all of what we believe in. Here's what a statement that he made. He said, "Why make such a fuss over the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, or his miracles, or his resurrection? I have more important things to consider than whether or not some grave is empty almost 2,000 years ago. We can all agree that Jesus left marvelous teachings, and we should unite on that and forget those controversial things that divide the religious world. What difference does it make whether or not Jesus was born of a virgin, turned water to wine, or rose from the grave? We should look at the practical things." Well, of course, that bespeaks of one who doesn't have much respect for God's word, obviously. But when you get to thinking about this, this is the way that modernists think today. Jesus was a prophet. He had some good things to say about morals, and they were even trying to discredit those now. But the modernist thinking is the Bible is not true. And what difference does it make anyway? Well, I suggest to you that it makes a great deal of difference, and you believe that too. I know you believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I know you believe in the temptation and the miracles and certainly the resurrection. But I want us to answer those questions tonight. Not that it would help the one who published this particular statement, because he doesn't believe in the Bible anyway. But I want us to know why we believe those things, that those are truths that are found in God's word. So he said, "Why make a fuss over the virgin birth?" Well, because the virgin birth is a foundation of our faith in him. If he wasn't born of a virgin, and then God is not his father, and he's just another man that was born of an earthly father, then how can we believe in anything that God says to tell us? When we look at God's word, it goes all the way back to 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born. The prophecies of prophets like Isaiah 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, reiterated this and referred back to this very prophecy when he said, "Now this is done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." So inspired writers thought it was worth making a fuss over for us to know and to understand and to accept this great truth, that Jesus indeed was born of a virgin. Now, what we have to do is we have to decide, are we going to accept this or reject it? And if we reject it, we reject God's word. So why make a fuss over his sonship? Well, modernists certainly accept that Christ was, in a sense, a good man, and that he was the offspring of God, like all of us are the offspring of God. That he was just another man. He was another one of God's creations, and not the Son of God. But when Jesus was baptized, we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, voice came out of heaven, God's voice. Lo, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then again at the Transfiguration, in Matthew 17 and verse 5, when Peter, James, and John were there and saw Moses and Elias, and Peter's impulsiveness caused him to say, let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and added, hear ye him. Matthew 17, verse 5. Then later, Peter confirms this very thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 when he said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the mountain. 2 Peter 1, 17 through and 18. So what we have here is another fundamental truth. And Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, whenever Jesus was asking, who do men say that I am? And some of the apostles said, well, some of them think you're Moses, and some of them think you're John the Baptist come back from the dead, and some of them think that you're a great prophet. And Jesus asked the disciples, he said, but whom do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, upon this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16, 16 through 18. Upon this truth, upon this fact that I am the Son of God, on that is what I'm going to build the church, and that is what he did. And then the promise of our salvation hinges upon him being the Son of God. John 3, verse 16. For God so, you know it, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, Jesus taught this emphatically. Places like John chapter 10, 35 and 37. And then his claim in John 20, when John said that many other signs and wonders truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, you might have life through his name. John 20 and verse 31. Truly Jesus was the Son of God, was a statement that was made by the Roman soldier at the foot of the cross. And truly, he was right. What about the temptation of Jesus? Was it a literal thing? Well, I believe that it was. And I believe that there was a purpose for the scripture recording God's account of Jesus' temptation. Modernists say it was just an oriental exaggeration. I believe it was a truth. We find it in both Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And it had a purpose. As the writer of Hebrews tells us, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, that he is able to comfort them who are also tempted. Hebrews 2 and verse 18. Again, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points just like we are, yet without sin. So this is God's stamp of approval that Jesus was indeed our perfect example. Then why make a fuss over his miracles? What's the big deal there? And so many times modernists and humanists have tried to discount and explain away in literal terms many of the miracles that we read about in the Bible, and especially the miracles of Jesus. Because the miracles of Jesus were what confirmed that he was from God. So if they can discount the miracles and explain away that power of God and power of Christ, then they can explain away some of these other things that we're talking about. But I think about Nicodemus in John 8 or John 3 in verse 2. At the time, an unbeliever who comes to Jesus by night because of his political position. But he says to him, Rabbi, for we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Watch this now. For no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. John 3 and verse 2. And then in John 11 and verse 47. It said, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and the council and said, what do we do? For this man does so many miracles. Those who sought and eventually did put Jesus to death did not because they could not explain away his miracles. And in John 6 and verse 2, and great multitudes followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them who were diseased. These gave proof to his divinity. The miracles are important. And his apostles on Pentecost in Acts 2 verse 22 declared that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves can testify. The multitudes knew it and could not deny it, and neither should we. But then why make such a fuss over the resurrection? Well, the resurrection must be accepted because our very eternal life depends on it. In Acts 1 and verse 3, There we read, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. There was a few years ago a lawyer who set up the resurrection as if it were a trial to prove or disprove the resurrection. And when all of his research was over and his book was written, it was undeniable. The witnesses, the proof, from the